Sunday morning, Shepherd Church. Wow. Thank you, Michael. Thank you to our worship team. What a great and rousing way to get our week going, to start the day off, start the week off by saying our God truly is invincible and we are sharing in invincible joy. So welcome. This is your first time here. Where have you been? We've been missing you, and we're glad you're with us. If you're watching online, or maybe you're out watching on the big screen or at Agua Dulce or Woodland Hills, my name is Pastor Jeff, and I am blessed to be able to bring one of the lessons in our Invincible Joy series. Oh, goodness. I knew my own name and it impressed you. That's fantastic. That's just encouraging. I was talking to somebody who said, what are you guys doing this Invincible Joy series? Next week, you do not want to miss this coming weekend. Pastor Dudley is going to be talking about joy in marriage. And some are thinking he's going to preach on miracles, isn't he? That's wonderful. No, he is going to talk about the reality of how our marriages are gifts from God. And after that, on the Friday after that, so a week from this Friday, my wife and I are actually going to do a little marriage tune-up event for Shepherd on Zoom. Excited, I was invited to host that, and my wife, who's got her master's in clinical psychology, that's how she handles me, will be joining me. And on that Friday evening at 7 p.m., we'd like for all of you to Zoom in with us if you don't have anything else going on that evening. We're going to be taking your questions, so you can get online and register at shepherdchurch.com. Just punch that marriage tune-up button and invite some friends. Maybe that'd be a way to encourage them to think about their spiritual life and maybe even join us here at Shepherd. So send your questions in. That shows you how to do it there, and we'll answer some. Actually, I'll give them to my wife, and she will answer the questions on that evening. It's going to be a fun night. Now, I have to say that another friend of mine said, you're telling me the senior pastor said this is the joy year, that we're gonna focus on joy? And I said, yeah. Has there been any year, any time where we needed joy any worse than we do right now? Can I get a oh yeah? And so I'm thankful that we're looking at joy, but every time I turn around, there's another reason to be frustrated and not joyful. I don't know if you know, but there's a football game today, the big game, the Super Bowl, and I always love the ads. Don't you find the commercials, the Super Bowl commercials, maybe some years it is the best part of it, but this year, the big advertisers have dropped out. I was just reading that this weekend that, Coca-Cola, I'm not joking, they said, we're just going to skip this year, and I'm thinking, good idea. Because there will be fewer people sitting home watching TV this year. We'll all be at the mall and at the movies and at restaurants. It's like, really? Of course, this is probably the year we're all going to think, let's just enjoy something good. So how do you handle the frustrations, the losses? I mean, say, well, I'm just grumpy. Well, then I need to address something with you. I actually think that's a big deal. Because joy, in fact, take your outline out. I know you're giving one out there. Just mark this down. Joy is the primary evidence of Christ in our hearts. True joy. I don't know what you think marks a person as a Christian, what they wear or a cross around their neck, but let me let you listen to what Paul says. You see, Paul was writing a letter to a church in Galatia, and he did a nice and naughty list, basically, in the fifth chapter. He says, here's a bunch of attitudes that are just from hell, and they will wreck your life. Hatred and discord, and jealousy and fits of rage. But then he says, now here is what the Spirit of God puts in a person's life. These are the natural fruit, the marks, if you will, of a Christian heart. You ready for the list? Wait, don't read it yet. I want to ask you a question. If you were writing down a list of attitudes that were key to a Christian's life, I mean, just the quintessential Christian attitudes. Now, I know what's got to be number one, right? Love. Everybody would say that. Jesus says, command I give you, love your neighbors as you love yourself. But what would you put as number two? Now, wait. Would you put like faith or being really good or being really kind or, you know, having integrity. All those things, quite frankly, might spring to mind for me, but not Paul. Paul was motivated by God to write this. The fruits of the Spirit are love and, what's number two? Joy. I know. I mean, I just get hit by this every time I look at it. He says joy is a marker, is a big billboard for Jesus. I mean, think about it. Joy is magnetic. And when you say you're at a restaurant with friends. Well, you remember what restaurants are, right? Those places we go and sit. So you're at, I don't know, BW Wild Wings or someplace, and there's a table across the way, and there's a circle of people who are having a great time. They are laughing, they are smiling, maybe they're a little loud, and they're just enjoying, having a good time, enjoying life together. Don't you look over and think, oh man, I bet that's a Christian table. No? Well, why not? We don't, because quite often we're not the ones who are extremely joyful. In fact, sometimes through the years, somehow Christianity has been marketed and labeled as this group of very dour people who just don't get excited about very much, and we just go to church, and we just, you know, this is our thing. I love that line. Somebody said that a Christian is someone who lays awake all night worrying that somewhere, somehow, someone is having a good time. And you know, that's the awful, wrong picture of a believer. Paul says that when you see somebody laughing and smiling, you ought to think, boy, that's power of Jesus in them. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who are laughing and smiling for other reasons, but the Christian's joy is something that does not get stopped when the stock market goes down or when COVID cases goes up. Christian joy is something that exceeds Satan's ability to knock out, and yet, write down number two, we can be robbed. Yes, even we can be robbed of that joy by forces from without, like pandemics and like economic challenges, and forces from within. You know, earlier in that same letter to the Galatian church, Paul shares a heartache because their joy, that church's joy, according to Paul, had been robbed. You know what robbed their joy? Legalism. What robbed their joy was the fact that they had been caught up in saying, okay, now this is the way you have to please God. It's you follow all these rules, do everything right. And Paul says, oh, dude, first off, you can't do everything right, right? Just lean over and tell the person next to you that. Don't spit on them, but just whisper to them, you know, you can't do everything right, because we can't. We're saved by the grace of God. We're saved because Jesus did everything right. But listen to Paul's language when he says, oh, I can tell that you've been messed up, when he says, here's from the New Living Translation, Galatians 4:15, where is that, what, joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? He said, when you first became Christians, man, there was joy coming out of you. An earlier translation of the NIV, you know, they keep working to get it, the language, just as correctly as possible. But this was one of my favorite lines. Paul says, what happened to all your joy? Really? I mean, like, where is it? It's like when, years ago, I've told this before. Some of you know I grew up in Downey, California. Went to elementary school there. Not too terrible far from here. Downey happens to be one of the places where, not the first, but one of the first McDonald's in Southern California was built. And we remember going to it. You know, back the golden arches, when they had those big old arches over the building. Some of my wrinkled homies here know what I'm talking about. And we pulled up. And this is my dad and my sister and I, and it was rare because, you know, they didn't want to do it a lot, but we went in, and my dad had us, and so he said, like three burgers. I mean, this was back when there wasn't 19 kinds of burgers at McDonald's. They were like a, you know, a burger and a cheeseburger. So three burgers and fries. Oh, you walk in that, as a kid. Oh, this is embarrassing. I remember walking in, oh, those fries. Oh, man. And we stood there waiting, and they brought back our tray with our three burgers and three bags of fries. Now, the bags of fries weren't, you know, all that stuffed, but we thought, but my dad, who grew up in the Depression, knows the value of a dollar, said, excuse me, to the young man, he's probably 16, 17 years old, who had brought our food. He said, may I ask you a question? Are these fry bags what you would call full? And this kid was like, what? And my dad just thought he couldn't hear. He said, are these bags of fries what you would call full? And before the kid could answer, there was a manager right over his shoulder. I always thought this guy was good because he stepped right up and said, I'm sorry, is there a problem here? And my dad's a pastor, not trying to cause a problem. He said, no, sir, there's no problem. He said, well, I saw a conversation. He said, I was just asking him if these fry bags were what he would call full. My dad reached out for the tray, and that manager looked at the tray and looked at my dad and grabbed hold of the tray, took it away from him, and walked away. And my sister and I thought, well, there goes our burgers. Thanks, Dad. You know, there went lunch. But you know that he was just heading right over to the fry area. He dumped those fries out in the trash can, threw those bags down, got a new little set of bags out. These are the old, you know, remember the paper bags, right? He got that silver scooper, and I remember watching him just stuff a bunch of fries in there. And then he did it again. And then he just grabbed some with his hands and just stuffed them in the top. I mean, the bag was ripping out. He did all three of them that away, brought them back, set them down in front of my dad, and said, sir, those bags are what I'd call full. And my dad said, me too, thanks. Boom, and we left with him. I waited for everybody else at McDonald's to say, hey, fill her up here. I'd like that too. Because you see, Paul's message is simply, hey, shepherd, what happened to all y'all's fries? What happened to all your joy? You've got gifts from God. You've got the Spirit living within you. You've got forgiveness of your sins. You've got a guarantee of heaven. You've got a community around you. You've got the Word of God. You've got peace that passes understanding. Hey, what happened to all y'all's fries? Because somehow somebody took your fries while you weren't looking. So how do you handle it when you get your joy fries, if you will, robbed? How do you handle it when events or even things within cause us to just say, man, I may have love, but I just don't have any joy. Now, danger, because there's a lot of people out there offering fake fries. You know what I mean? Because we immediately think, well, honey, let's just binge on a bunch of Netflix comedies and we'll just, you know, we'll feel better after that. Hey, let's have us a party. If we could just get some people together, even on Zoom, you know, or hey, I'm going to buy something on Amazon and have it delivered tomorrow there. I'll get it right now. And for just a moment, we kind of go, ooh, that feels good. But that goes away. You know what I mean? Some of you have eaten a whole pint of ice cream and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you just, and then you look down and you realize how many calories, oh Lord have mercy, what have I done? That's what you call not joy, but that's momentary happiness. Happiness is just based on happenstance. Joy is something deeper and more full. Do not settle for distracted happiness by just saying, oh, let's buy something, do something, go somewhere. Stop. Where do you get that deeper joy? And I'm going to shock you because you have with you right now where you get it. I'm not talking about God's word in your lap, although God's word is powerful. I'm talking about something even more intimate. Take your right hand and put it like this. Just do your right hand like this in front of you. Go ahead. Sir, I'm talking to you. Take your right hand and do it. Thank you. All right. Good deal. Now take your left hand and do it like this. You got it? This is most exercise, and some of us have done in a while. All right, here we go. Ready? Now do this. That's where you find it. Joy that comes through the connection with God we have in prayer. Now, hang on, because I know that my heart would be saying, oh, that's right. I'm just going to pray and say, oh, God, please make me joyful. God, just give me joy. That's actually not what the Scripture says to pray. I don't know if you know this, but mark down, if you will, surprisingly, this is number three, the prayer that leads back to joy takes us through lament. Now, lament is simply a biblical word for expressing heartache or grief. It is talking about, it is expressing the pain of the losses that we are experiencing. And you say, hold it, Pastor, I lost you somehow. You said you're going to talk about how we're going to get joy, and now you're going to talk about us talking about our hurts. Let me let Paul describe it. Book of Philippians, probably one of the most quoted verses on joy. Philippians 4, it begins here by saying, rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. Philippians 4:4, man, I've had that quoted to me. Hey, now come on, rejoice in the Lord always, Pastor, as though it's just a switch you flip. Well, read the rest of it, brother. Take a look at what he says. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I'm not going to force anything on anyone. The Lord is near. Realize that God is with you. Do not be anxious. That means worry. I'm going to say that slow. That means don't worry. What about the vaccine? What about the economy? What about her? What about violence? Do not be anxious about. But in every situation, just read that, means COVID. In every situation, by what? Excuse me? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He goes on to say that God will guard your hearts and minds with a peace that passes understanding. He'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the path to getting there isn't through pretending we don't have hurts, isn't through denying our sorrows, but it comes in giving them to God in prayer. See, there's a danger in it, and I've probably done it to you at times, so I apologize. We pastors would get up here and say, now y'all ought to be joyful. You got the reasons to be joyful. Be joyful. And it's like, okay, let me flip the switch, which can be heard as bury all the junk you're dealing with. Just put away all that sadness. Just forget about it now. That's not what Paul says to do. I was on a call, Zoom call the other day with some teenagers. Part of the work I do at Pepperdine is working with younger teens, high school students. And I ask them a dumb question. I just said, so is everybody okay? Y'all okay? And as I heard them say, yeah, we're okay. These are kids who are in their senior year. I got off the call and I thought, that was the dumbest question I could ask a bunch of high school seniors right now. Are you okay? Because if they'd answered me honestly, they'd have said, well, Jeff, for the last 11 months, I've been stuck in my house with my parents and my little sister and my little brother, and I haven't been able to go out and hang with my friends. And oh, by the way, my school year got all messed up, so I'm Zooming online. And last summer, I couldn't go to summer camp, and I missed my mission trip. And by the way, this year, we didn't even think we were going to have a prom, and probably I won't even have a graduation ceremony. And by the way, about 1 million people around the earth have a serious disease, and we've lost maybe 500,000 people in the U.S. to COVID. So am I okay? No, I'm not okay. But none of them said that, because here I am, a pastor, talking to them, and they don't think the pastor wants to hear that. God wants to hear it. God, like a father, wants us to crawl up into his lap in prayer and say, dear Father, blech, here, I'm hurting, I'm lost. I was talking to even one of our praise band members and asked, hey, how things going, you know? And the member said, man, not much going on at all. Normally, they're very, very busy recording and stuff. It's just been shut down. Wonder how that's impacted his economic household. I've got friends who run restaurants that have had to close. Some will not reopen. I've had folks who are essential workers who have had to go to work and ended up catching COVID. And I know families who lost, not just to COVID. There's a sweet lady named Amy who has run these cameras for a number of years here at Shepherd. She's driven trams. She's struggling with cancer right now and is to the last few steps of her way, it appears. And we're praying that God would provide a miracle, but it's not what it's looking like right now. So please don't let anyone convince you that what we need to do is never talk about the bad stuff. Paul says, here's what you do. You take it to the Lord, because that's the path through lament and into joy. In fact, here, if you think, well, is that really true? Let's just go to Jesus. If you have your Bibles or your phones, whatever, go over to John 16, because you're going to want to look at this and maybe even read about this when you get home today. So Jesus in John 16 is at what's called the Last Supper, right? He's having his last gathering with his disciples. And as they're gathered together, he drops a bomb on them. He says, in a little while, you will see me no longer. Now, we, of course, know the story, but these guys, they'd never seen the Passion play. So they had no idea what was about to happen, that Jesus was about to get arrested and whipped and beaten and crucified. And so they began to obsess and say, well, what do you mean? Is Jesus leaving us? Wait a minute, this is our rabbi. We've been following him for 3 years. We expected we'd be with him for the next 10 years or maybe even the rest of my life. I mean, I'm committed to him. I love him. And he just said he's leaving? Jesus, of course, understanding this, responds with these words. Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Well, very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You ever been there? You ever found yourself in a moment of personal tragedy while something maybe wonderful is going on in the world? Jesus says, welcome. That's what following me is like. But watch what continues. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to what? Oh, come on, you kids. Joy. Yeah, joy. Here we go. Sorry. But your grief will turn to?
Joy.
Now, the description that the picture he gives right now is hard for a guy to preach. So I'm just going to say this, because I don't know how to preach this. I'm just going to read it. A woman giving birth to a child has pain. Can I get an oh yeah from all the women who have given birth to children here? Okay, thank you. Because her time has come. But when her baby is born, then she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. I have no idea. Okay, I have no idea, ladies, and let me just say this up front. I have watched a lady give birth to my 3 sons, and my wife is a brave and powerful woman, but she cried, and it was, oh, and I just stood there thinking, oh, Lord, thank you, that's not me. I mean, I would not have handled it as well as she handled it. I'm telling you that right now. I love what Carol Burnett said when asked by a male talk show host, you know, does giving birth, you know, I mean, everyone talks about it hurts. Does it really hurt that much, Carol? She says, well, I can show you. He said, what do you mean? All the guys in here do this. She said, take your 2 fingers just like this. Go ahead, guys. I dare you. Just take your 2 fingers. You're sitting right here in the front, security. Thank you. All right, take your 2 fingers just like this. Now reach out, and if you're not wearing your mask, just grab a hold of your bottom lip. If you are wearing a mask, just imagine it. And then once you got a hold of that bottom lip, pinch a little bit, and then pull it over your head. She said, that is what it's like if you want to know how painful it would be. Now, Jesus uses this moment to teach, and he says, when you are in something that's so painful you can't believe it, remember this, joy is coming. In fact, it is right standing with you, no matter the violence, the difficulties, the hardship, whatever it is. Now listen to Jesus' words, so with you, he's talking about the pregnant woman and all of us now, so with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again and you'll rejoice and no one will take away your joy. He says, for in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Now, all of a sudden, he shifts to talking about asking for things. What's he talking about? He's talking about a brand new hotline he is giving them to God called prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Nobody in Jesus' disciple circle ever prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Which seems bizarre to us. Why? Because Jesus hadn't died and been resurrected and become that Messiah, that sacrifice, that Lord of all, right? So instead, they asked Jesus to talk to his Father. They asked Jesus, can you know, please, oh, Jesus, can you? He says, you're not going to do that because I'm giving you a hotline where all you need to do, ask and you receive and your joy will be complete. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am able to talk to you. See, that's the big thing that happens there. And that's why, let me give you three quick ones why prayer brings joy. This kind of prayer through Christ. Prayer brings joy because God is always there and he always answers us. Just mark that down. You never bow your head in prayer and have it go to voicemail. That doesn't happen. Do you have friends or family you call who just never answer their cell phone? But they'll text you right back? You know what I'm talking about? There are three people who do that to me. I call them my sons. They just, it's like, what, can you just answer the phone? Oh, Dad, come on, we must text. I am so thankful when I call God, he never just texts me. Sorry, on a call, what do you need? He says, son, I am right here, talk to me. I never drop the call, never drive through a bad cell spot, right? It is so good to know that according to God's word, he hears us. Here. Listen to John writing later in his letter, 1 John. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. This is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You never have to say to God the question that my father asked me 1,000 times growing up. Are you listening to me? You never have to say that to God, because as soon as you say, oh, Father, and even before, he's there. How good to know that our God hears us and answers. Now, he doesn't always give us the answer we want, because quite frankly, the answer we want may not be the answer we need. But mark down number two, prayer brings joy because God always cares about our hurts and losses. David, who knew hurts and losses so well, King David, who went through family and national challenges, says this about when you're hurting. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Is that you today? Then let me read it again. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You see, prayer renews my joy. It gets my fries back. It returns that holy peace and joy, because I know God hears. He's here. He cares. And finally, I know that he knows my needs before I speak them, and he provides. Mark that down. That's the last one. Prayer brings joy because God always knows our needs and provides. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. What do you mean? Don't get hooked up in prayers. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. I'm just begging you. I'm just begging you. Jesus, one, God already hears you. You don't got to shout at him. And number two, he says, you don't have to say a lot of words. Well, why aren't my words important? Listen to Jesus. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need. When? Before you even ask him. I know you've got people who think, well, I knew you were going to say that. Jesus knew what, pardon me, our Father knows what you think before you think it. Not only what you say before you say it. He knows our needs, but he invites us to speak them to him in this intimate, beautiful relationship we have with God called prayer. Now, I was tempted to quit right here and say, okay, good, that's it. But then I realized, wait a minute. I grew up in a praying household where prayer was all around me. And it was a blessing I'm afraid I take for granted being a preacher's kid. So if you're sitting out there saying, oh, pastor, you're probably a great prayer, but I'm no prayer pro. I mean, I hardly know where to start. I hear people give beautiful prayers. Hey, prayers are not performance. Prayer's just a conversation. But I understand the feeling. Boy, I hope nobody asked me to pray. I wouldn't know what to say. Okay, let me give you something that's been helpful to me. Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not something I think for us to memorize and repeat. Nothing wrong with repeating that. But what it is the elements of prayer. And I put them together in a way that I could remember. You see, if you want to take me for some fast food, burgers are okay. Hot dogs, eh. But if we can find us a taco truck, yes. So I would like to close with giving you
the TACOS way to pray. T-A-C-O-S. It's really easy to remember. Now, don't get all nervous about, okay, oh, this, because right here on the back of your outline, if you flip it over, you didn't see it, there's a picture even of a taco there. Now, by this point, everybody's like, ooh, taco sounds good. All right, just give me one more minute, and I'll let you go get some. Here's the deal. When you pray, don't let this become a routine that is strapped, something you just have to follow. Here, I'll put it this way. How many ways are there to make a taco, right? Some of us are ground beef taco guys, okay. But some of us are chicken taco people. How many chicken taco people have we got out there and say, man, if I get a taco, I want that chicken taco. But somebody say, oh, that's just because you haven't had a fish taco yet. We got any fish taco lovers, Californians here, all right? Or how about shrimp tacos? Now we're talking. Oh, sign me up. But you know what my favorite, the best taco is? A Choco taco. That's the taco. No. Oh, I can't eat that right now, I'll tell you what. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the word tacos and just write these things down. It'll be easy. You'll never forget it. You can teach this to your kids. T stands for thanksgiving. I begin my prayer with giving thanks to God. And they say kinetic learning works, so I'm going to ask you, after you've written the word thanksgiving, get your hands out like this, and I'm going to ask you to do this, okay? This is giving thanks to God. Here's what I've got. Thank you, Lord, pointing it in the right direction. A stands for adoration. That means to praise God. Now, the reason thanksgiving is the way I start, because an attitude of gratitude will often help us to be joyful. When you start looking around at your blessings, Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for letting me be an American. Thank you for my freedom to worship, right? And then, as long as my hands are up, let's go ahead and say, God, you're awesome. God, you are just awesome. Adoration is honoring God for his beauty and majesty. There was a lady who did a study at Harvard on what makes people joyful. And one thing she wrote stuck out to me. She wrote that joy in humans is often connected to confronting that which is good, beautiful, majestic. That's why we all go, oh, Bob, look at the sunset. Oh, why do we do that? Happens every day, right? Some are more pretty than others. But there's something about that, or about standing in Yosemite and looking at the mountains. Wow. Or about standing at the ocean and just, it's so gorgeous. Beauty fills us, not just with happiness, but with a deep joy. Well, what's more good and beautiful and majestic than God? So we go from, everybody say thanksgiving, and then adoration, good. And then we, now take your hand and do this. Just do that. Okay. That's what we call confession. That's dumping out the trash can. That's saying, God, I'm sorry. I just need to get rid of this junk, because that's what our sin is. And praise God, through Jesus Christ, we're able to confess it and be forgiven. Now, if you forget to empty the trash can for a long, long time, what happens to that trash can? Yeah, it starts stinking, doesn't it? And that happens to people too. If you don't dump your trash can of sin, if you don't confess, if you don't lament and hurt and say, God, oh, I'm sorry. This is not a joyful moment, but it's a moment that allows us to get to joy by saying, Father, please forgive me. And by the way, if you leave that trash in a trash can, you'll be tempted to go back to it. You understand what I'm saying?
We bought Chinese food the other night. And I ordered, and I was, you know, hungry and ordered way too much and got it home. And Kathy said, but this is way too much for just you and I. I said, baby, we'll eat it later. We'll eat some now. So we put it in the fridge, and a couple of days I ate a little more, and I enjoy it.
Well, by the time Saturday rolled around, I was like, oh, there's a little bit of that Kung Pao and a little bit of fried rice left. Oh, man, that's perfect. She won't have to worry about lunch. That'd be great. I went over and opened up the fridge. It was gone. Catherine, did you eat the Kung Pao? Which would be fine if she did. And she said, no, I didn't. I said, you sure? She said, yeah. So I'm moving stuff around in there. Two little white boxes ought to be evident. I said, maybe I can't find it. Where is it? She said, I threw it away. You did not, sweetheart. That stuff had been in there almost a week. That's not safe. You shouldn't be eating. Her mother was a dietitian for the state of California, and it's cost me a lot, let me tell you. It's maybe just a week. Chinese food's good for like 2 weeks. She said, no, it is not. I said, when'd you throw it away? She said, just this morning. I'm just telling the truth. I looked down at the place under the sink, and I thought, you know, it's in them white boxes, so it wouldn't have touched anything else, right? And there's no COVID in there. She came in the kitchen and said, don't even think about it. I already took it to the dumpster and emptied it because I knew what you'd be doing. All right, that's embarrassing to tell, but not near as embarrassing is when we go back and eat out of that trash can of sin. It's when we go back to that trash can and we say, oh man, look at this. Oh, look at this. This is so bad that I did this. Or maybe on a bad day, we say, well, you know what? I might even do that again. Dump that stuff in confession. It cost Christ his life on the cross. And what we need to do is say, God, I hurt. I'm sorry. Let me get rid of that confession, which allows me then, we got to finish, to be able to pray for others. The O is others, okay? And to get others, you just take your hand and you just point around. Just go ahead, just do this. Don't hit somebody, but just point around. All these people, right? It's what I call a 360 prayer. If you're saying, I don't know what to pray for, just do this. See, if I start right here, I'm going to pray. Praise God for our deaf ministry. Praise God right now for the lady who is translating what I'm saying. Praise God for the folks that there's a volunteer sitting on the back of the chair back there who handed you communion and a brochure. Praise God for them. I praise God for the people sitting way up in the balcony. And some of y'all got here and went, I don't want to be close to nobody, but you came. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We got our tech team at the back. They have the hardest job in the world. They have to stay awake through three of these sermons, and they did it already. Thank you, guys. I can just go right wherever you are. And when you spin around like this, what guess what you'll be confronted with? You'll be confronted with lots of other folks, and you'll be saying, thank you. Oh, God, please bless them. Please take care of her. And by the way, your arm can stretch all the way around the world where COVID and other problems are scaring the daylights out of people all over the world, all over the country. You can pray about violence and problems, all of that for others because you want to do the S last, and it's for myself. So mark down self. So we have, everybody say Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, and then put your hands up and say adoration. And then we're going to do what? Confession. That's right. And then we're going to pray for, and then finally for our, bow your head. Lord, we are so thankful that you give us this hotline to joy. And Father, even as I wrote on the bottom of that outline, don't let anything keep you off the hotline to joy. It's our practice for heaven. You know, Father, I guess that's only part true. We are practicing praising you, but in heaven, I won't have to confess. I won't have to weep or lament. In heaven, I won't need the hotline because I'll be right there with you. We can just talk, God, whatever that means. But Father, I pray for those here who don't have that hotline because they've never given their heart and life to you. Father, for those who have never believed, repented, and confessed, been baptized into Jesus. Father, the joy I see when people come up out of that baptistry. God, I pray that for some young people and some older people here. And whether they just drop a card off with somebody in the lobby from the chair in front of them just says, I want to be baptized. Or Father, whether they just text in, if they're online, Jesus to the number on the screen. Father, I pray that their path to joy would begin right here with a choice to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for being a father who is waiting right now for all of us to crawl up onto your lap and just make some tacos with you, to crawl up onto your lap and just pour out our heart to you. Please, Father, help us to do that this week, I pray. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen. So stand up right now. Stand up with me because we're going to make a taco before we go. Here we go. Bunch of you are so hungry now, you can't stand it, man. I'm going to find the first taco truck I spot. All right, here we go. Here we go. You ready? Now, this is your father is ready to have you crawl up onto his lap and tell him your whole heart. So we start with Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for something, anything. Just speak it out loud. Thank you, Father, for our country, for my family. Thank you, Father, for my health, for my grandkids. All right, good. Now, let's praise God. Just say something you love about God. God, you are what? Holy, mighty, loving, forgiving. Yes. All right, now, we're going to confess. What I want you to do is shout as loud as you can the worst thing you've ever done. No, okay, we won't do it that way.
Just say, oh, God, you know, and I'm sorry. Go ahead. Just turn it over. God, you know, and I'm sorry. Just dump it. Just dump that trash can. Go ahead. Some of you may need to dump it two or three times and whack the bottom because there's stuff sticking to it. Come on now. God, I am sorry. Help me not to go back to that. And then quick, just pray for the people around you. Go ahead. Even if they rode with you, just say, God, bless them. Bless them. Father, please bless them. Bless the needy and the hurty and the sick. Be with Amy today. All right. And finally, tap your chest and bow your head. Lord, in this moment of silence, before we go, will you please hear what each one of us need to ask of you silently? Thank you. Thank you for being the God who hears. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, and we receive the joy you give us through the Spirit, and in his name we pray, amen.
Go make some tacos. God bless you. See you next week.